This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for joining us on Enterprise. My name is Audrey Raj, and this is Failing Forward, the show where we feature real-life stories from entrepreneurs who have failed and are stronger for it. It's part two of our episode on innovation, trials and errors with Renyi Chin from My Burger Lab. Renuka Sena, Chief Explorer at Proficio, is of course with us as usual. And Renu, I want to start with you. You know, picking up from where we left off last month, Renyi was talking about the experimentation process in creating his line of products at My Burger Lab and also incentivizing and rewarding his staff as well. But it's obvious from listening back to the episode that there's plenty of innovation going on in the background at My Burger Lab. So what's the next fail that we're going to unpack here?
So I'm glad that last bit that he talked about was in rewarding the employees, because I think that a lot of people also forget that there is actually innovation that you can put into processes and innovation. And who runs the processes? Most of the time, it's people. Mm. It's your employees. It's your staff. And I think understanding how they want to be rewarded versus how you think you should reward them is also very different depending on the type of organization. And different people look at, you know, normal HR practices and say, okay, bonus, increment, maybe I give you a company trip or something like that. And those are the normal ways to do things. Mm-hmm. But I think that with entrepreneurs, a lot of them think about, should I give them equity? Mm. Should I share my profits with them? Is that a way that would reward them? And I think Renyi did actually kind of try out some of these concepts. Yes. And, you know, it's probably better for him to share in terms of, you know, what those were.
I'm a bit of a socialist myself. I like the idea that, you know, if we work hard, you know, everyone reaps the reward together, at least in our company. So a lot of times, my background when I was studying as a student is that I work part-time a lot. But as a part-time student, you're working for anyone, you know you're dispensable. No one really cares about you. And because we rely so heavily in Burger Lab, we rely so heavily on part-time staff and on purpose. I'll share why later if you have time. But we rely heavily on part-time staff. Almost 80% or 90% of our work is done by part-timers. Right.
80% or 90%? Wow. Okay.
Yeah. That, I mean, if you go to any Burger Lab, you see it's all young, fresh faces. But okay, anyway, so we wanted to make sure that, hey, we take care of these guys, right? Even though their commitment to us is short term. But that's what part-timers are. So I decided to come up with this system where we call it SSP, Staff Shareholding Program. And it was something that was inspired by Starbucks. So anyway, the structure was very simple. Every month, whatever profit we had, we will commit 1% that will be distributed across to all staff that work that month. Mm. So if a simple example between you and me, all right, you work 5 hours, I work 10 hours, there's a bonus of, let's say, 100 ringgit. You will get 100 ringgit times 5 divided by 15. Right. I will get 10 divided by 15. Equal distribution for the amount of work that you put in. And that was a great idea. Everyone loved it. Everyone knew that, hey, you know, we made so much money this today. I'm going to get a little bit of that, mm-hmm. right? Because we also openly share our sales of the day. We talk about it. We don't hide the numbers. We want to know, hey, guys, good job. Today you made 12K sales, 13K sales, and so on. And then at the end of the month, we will break down and we do the P&L and then we reward them subsequently. That was great when there was only one store. Mm. My HR was going to jump off the building when there was second store, third store. Because they have to go into detail of everyone's work hours, double-checking the hours, because there was also room for potential abuse when it's come to clock in and clock out, because you just need to clock in extra hours and then you get that a little bit more. Not that anyone was abusing it, but we had due diligence to make sure that that didn't happen. So, and when we run with only part-timers or majority part-timers, you have to understand we are running with about 50 to 60 part-timers at any given time. Not in the same store, but we have 50 to 60. Stores. Yeah, because they only work 2 to 3 days a week.
Right.
Right. So you need a huge staff population to run the store. So my HR was like, look, we can't do this long term. So but I said, you know, just push through. You know, the team is motivated, they are growing, they want to do well. Because there's also a caveat to it, which is if they receive like pink slip, which is like
time to go.
No, pink slip is more of warning letters, letters, right, for being late, for doing certain things. Then they will not get the bonus. So everyone ended up behaving themselves. So it was a good system. However, the technology wasn't there. And I think to some extent, I didn't know that technology was there. I don't know if it's available out there. But the point here is that we had to remove it. At one point, my HR was like, I cannot do this. It's impossible. So when we stripped that off, everyone was so angry.
Yeah. Because imagine the backlash.
Mm. Yeah. There were some that wanted to quit. There were some that... and to us, we knew that was going to happen. But we knew that we don't have a solution to the problem. If my HR falls apart, the whole business falls apart as well. So we said, look, we need to come up with a better system. So we did strip it off painfully. And there were some who left. But we were paying well anyway, on top of, you know, that bonus. And we came up with another structure. So we said we wanted people to perform in their stations. And we could divide the work in Burger Lab into 7 stations, from the cashier to the griddle one to the fryer and assembly and so on. Why don't we make them be specialists in each station, that they are acknowledged for their hard work there and their skill at that? So I tried to gamify work. And every station had a level up card. If you fulfill certain criteria that we have listed out and it's made known to them from the very start, they will be given a card that says, hey, you have leveled up. You are now a G1 specialist. Mm-hmm. And they collect these cards. So without giving any monetary reward, they felt good. They felt they were recognized. Great. Then I said, okay, let's insert another level of monetary reward into it. So every 3 cards you collect, you get 50 cents extra per hour. Mm-hmm. Every 5 cards you collect, and every 7 card you collect, you get a... By the time you reach the 7 card, which is all the stations, you get a plaque, you get, you know, a little bit of a ceremony. So that's what we did. And I think that system has survived for the most part until MCO, where we had to strip it off again, just because we couldn't afford that system. But we will look into introducing something that even that system had this issue, because we also had friends, we also had managers who were more friend with one of the part-timers, and then we'll kind of, reward that person faster, and there's biasness. So it had its flaw. But what I'm trying to say here is that we were experimenting. We definitely did fail with a great idea, but it only allowed us to develop something that was better. So right now, we are working on something for 2021 when things go back to some kind of normality, to reintroduce this kind of staff rewarding program.
So just to jump in there, Audrey, and looking at it more from, you know, a step back. So the first system in terms of rewarding the employee, it had the benefit of, you know, feel-good factor. People were, you know, wanting to actually, you know, sort of toe the line so that they would all work towards ensuring that the company was profitable and making more money because they got a share of it. But what ended up being the challenge or the fail, so to speak, is more in terms of processes. HR couldn't handle it, and it would be a nightmare as they grew. Whereas the second, so-called second experiment, whilst it still gave the feel-good factor, it still allowed people to actually better themselves. But because it wasn't tied to profit and everybody got that increment, so to speak, what you have is that irrespective of whether the company is going to do well or not, I still have to pay that guy that extra 50 cents or extra 1 ringgit an hour, you know? So
because they have reached that level.
Exactly, yeah. So these are some of the considerations, I suppose, that you will only know if you implement, see how it goes. And, you know, for innovation like, say, for example, dealing with people, you're never going to be able to say that, I'm going to try this for 1 month and see how.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You have to actually allow it to go a little further. But in terms of letting go of when should I stop this? Unfortunately, in this case, it was MCO that brought in the realization that I can't afford this anymore.
So that was going to be my question to Renee, actually. You know, how do you know when it's time to just let go of an idea?
I think every idea that we have is a baby of ours, right? And you stick your gun to it no matter what. I think when you start losing money, that's the first clear sign. And what Renu brought up was something that we were experiencing. On the good months, we were paying out great. There were bad months where we still paid out because that was committed to them. There was no, hey, in the event that we don't make money, your stars don't count or your level ups don't count, right? So I think if there's any lesson that I can take away is that, number one, set the timeline. To be honest, this system, I knew it has its flaw, but I felt that it had a greater good than, you know, bad. So I let it run for years. But in hindsight, I think knowing when to pull the bandit off or when to stop something is when you have continuous loss for 3 months or 4 months. But you have to be able to say, you have to set the fail safe in place. Right, when this happens, I know it's when to stop. I'll give you another example. We tried to do a breakfast menu, and during MCO, because we had to close early, so we just extended, you know, our operation time in the morning, and we developed a breakfast menu in haste. It only had 5 items, and while it did okay in the first 1-2 months, people wanted to try it and whatnot. But as RMCO came about, and more restaurants, more cafes opened up in the morning, people obviously wanted to go there instead, and we saw, you know, a decline in the sales. I tried to keep it alive for as long as possible, but when we were not making money for 2 months, I said shut it down. Mm-hmm. But we're working on it to bring it back, you know, with a fuller menu to see how things go. But interestingly, I'm friends with Steven from Nando's CEO, who's Nando's CEO. He also used to run McDonald's for the last donkey years, and he was the one who brought in breakfast for McDonald's, and it was a pain and struggle. I could relate to him, and they never gave up, but they spent millions and millions of dollars just to get people into the habit of eating McDonald's as a breakfast. Mm. They gave out hundreds of thousands of free sausage McMuffin, for example. And that was something that, you know, do you have the budget to keep pushing through?
Mm. To build that habit.
To build that habit. Mm. So these are things that you have to make a decision. Right now, we really don't have the budget to keep pushing for the breakfast. We needed a cut. So back in the days, when I was speaking to him and relating to him my struggles of building the breakfast menu, he said, it was the right call during this time, but if it was a different time and he had the budget, he would just push through because he knew that it was something that could be developed.
Okay, it's time for a break. When we come back, we talk about the My Burger Lab app. You know, you're going to want to stay tuned for this one. Failing Forward, we'll be right back in just a few minutes. BFM 89.9.
Build Fairer Malaysia. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
We are back. This is Failing Forward with Audrey Raj, Chief Explorer at Proficio. Renuka Sena is in the studio with me, together with Renyi Chin, co-founder and creative director at My Burger Lab. And we are discussing innovations and the trials and errors that come part of the package. Now, as usual, before we let any guests off the hook on this show, we always discuss the one metric that matters to their business. So what is Renyi's, or what is My Burger Lab's one metric that matters?
For most F&B restaurants, I think, and you know, even when we had Zihan from Copper over, we talked about the customer lifetime value.
Right.
And for restaurants, I think it's important because we also talked about it just now. Not just the customer coming back more often, but also bringing, you know, other people along with them perhaps. And during the CGP, Renyi had this idea that one of the ways in which he would perhaps implement tracking a metric for the customer lifetime value was via the app.
Mm. Building our own app.
Yes, building their own app, right?
From scratch.
Yes. And, you know, I had, I wouldn't say I was dead set against it, but I advised them against it because I said, look, don't build an app because, one, it costs a lot of money. Two, you also have app fatigue. You know, it's like people are getting more and more discerning about what app do they actually want to download and keep. And, you know, do you think that your customers will actually do that? And, you know, I remember there was a lot of...
back and forth? Thing,
not really. You could, you know, Renyi was respectful enough not to say it straight to my face, I don't care what you say. But he just went ahead and did it, right? So I'm like, fair enough. You know, at the end of the day, I mean, what are we there for? We're just there to advise and you're supposed to learn from it. And in having this conversation for today's interview, so I asked him, so how's the app going? And, you know, he said, yeah, so, you know, they collect points and they have to use the app and then we know what they want and what they don't want. And I was like, yeah, but how many are using the app? And it wasn't, I suppose, what he had hoped it would be. But there's a lesson in there as well.
250,000 ringgit later.
Ouch. Okay. And what is the lesson?
I'm still going through the lesson. I mean, the app is still there.
He hasn't let go, basically.
No, I haven't let go. I think there is still something to it. It's just the tweaking, right? There's just a lot of tweaking. I think there is... The example that we base ourselves upon was actually the Nando's app, which is a very successful app. One of the things that we didn't... that we don't have is accessibility. You don't have enough locations. People, we weren't able to give as much as Nando's were able to. I think Nando's, every 2-3 meals, you get half a quarter of chicken. It was a very, very good deal. We are a bit more giam siap lah. We were a lot more cheap. So we didn't give a lot back to the customers. But we were still trying to find out what works, what doesn't work. So yeah, in hindsight, would I build the app again? I'm not sure on this because, again, I'm still working on it.
Renu is smiling, by the way.
But we have, over this last 2-3 years, collected a lot of information of customer behavior. Mm. And that, to me, is something that I could use to convert and to understand my customers a little bit more. Because prior to this, I mean, there are a lot of businesses like, I think Mula, right? Also
yes.
Nicholas, who does customer tracking and they do all the work for you. But I felt that that data is one-sided. They will give you what they need only. And no offense, I think it's a great app that they have there. But for us, we wanted more control. I'm a bit of a control freak, I guess. Is there a fail here? Hopefully no.
So if I can jump in, and I think that, you know, if... So one of the things is, you know, thinking about what you want to do. And every single entrepreneur, whether it's their product or whether it's something that they do in their business, it is their baby. You know, for me as well, every single program that I have, every entrepreneur that walks in the door, they're my baby. And you're not willing to let go, but in understanding what... Have you done enough to ensure that you have exhausted the utility of the app? And I think, you know, one of the things that Renu and I talked about was that perhaps he did the first thing, which was build the app. And he did do some things to actually ensure that, you know, the customers had downloaded the app and using the app. But perhaps in order to ensure that, you know, your so-called ROI on the app is really something that is going to mean something to you, you actually have to go all the way, right? You've got to push it. You've got to make people want to use it. You've got to make it a utility app. But at the same time, you know, I think that, you know, there needs to be that cutoff date that he talked about earlier to tell yourself that if I don't have the time and I don't put the team behind actually going all out to see whether this is going to work, and in 6 months' time, I'm still saying, I got to do it, you know it's time to stop. Because there are also alternatives. You know, you have many, like, free plug here for Checkers and TTDI. Their loyalty program, it's not via an app. It's just via the phone number, and they've got their system online. And every time I go and eat there, essentially I know, actually not so much I know, my kids know, that every 2 times we eat there, they're going to get their dessert free. And they know exactly what they want for dessert. So, you know, it's like when you know that, the choice is that, where shall we go for dinner? Checkers. Where shall we go for dinner? They know where, because it's like right. 2 meals later, free dessert.
Right. So the app is still in the works. And you're committed, but do you have that fail safe, you know, when you have to cut your losses and let it go?
I think the app is actually a little bit more refined than it was 1.5 years ago. The only downside is that we don't have enough dining customers now due to MCO. This year was supposed to be the year that we test the new system that we've put into place for the app. But again, you know, MCO has not been helpful for everyone. So we shall see. But diners are slowly coming back. And I hope that the SOP is still there to keep us safe, but can be loosened a little bit more so that we can host more people. And that's where I start seeing whether the app makes sense.
So from one of your customers who's actually downloaded your app, let me order via the app and come and pick up.
Yep, I know. That's something that we're working on. It's a technological issue.
She's putting you on the spot then.
No. I agree.
Live radio.
It is definitely, when we built the app, we didn't know what we wanted. We knew we wanted a point collection system, but we didn't think too far ahead into how deep that ecosystem can be. And I think that's where the failure was. Because if we had such a, we had a further insight into what it could be, the app could be built from the start. Because app is like building a house. Mm. After you build the house, you can't say, suddenly I want to build one extra something on there. You got to demolish certain things. Yeah. So that's the issue here. So we have a lot of legacy issues that with the app that we had to work on.
Okay. Rennie, before I let you go, and I'm sorry, but I'm sorry to let you go, but before I let you go, what's next for My Burger Lab? What are the future plans and vision? And let's not talk about 2020. Let's talk about 2021. When, you know, hopefully things get a bit better.
So things are looking positive in the sense where I have a clearer picture on how I want to move things forward. So just to share with everyone, on the 23rd of September, it's 100 days away from the end of the year. So Jeevan, one of my coach from before, and he's
a regular on BFM as well, yeah.
He set us to this task, you know, do 5 tasks a day that will help you end strong by the end of the year. So today's our 3rd day. And one of my tasks daily is to talk to a different mentor, you know, about our business or about personal growth. And yesterday I spoke to Chong Lin of Nando's, and we had a good 1-hour chat, and it gave me a lot of clarity into how to move things forward. So we will be building a centralized kitchen, a halal centralized kitchen that will support the future growth of Burger Lab. But at the same time, I have a few new verticals that's coming up. We will be the Ramli of cafes and restaurants, meaning that I want to be a burger solution for every restaurant and cafe out there that needs a good burger solution. Because a lot of people, hey, I want to open a cafe, I serve good coffee, or I make good pasta. But burgers could be an afterthought. They will buy, you know, off the shelf, or they'll buy from suppliers ready-made patties. I want to be the guy to say, hey, I can provide you good burger products, and then we can collab together, and you can put my name on there. So that's number one. By the end of 2021, you will see 100 restaurants with Burger Lab burgers on them.
Yes, please. You know, the number of restaurants you go to, and they charge you 20-odd ringgit for a burger, and when it comes, it's actually literally a frozen whatever.
So disappointing sometimes.
Yes, I know. Yeah. It really
Not all of them are like that, but yeah.
No, but there are many. I mean, you it's the expectation, right?
Exactly.
You go to McDonald's, you know what you're going to expect. Yeah. You go to a restaurant, they charge you 20-plus ringgit for a burger, you expect at least made here, but if not made by someone that you can
trust.
So there's room for improvement, and that's where My Burger Lab wants to come in.
Yeah. And then you will see us in supermarket shelves. And then the other thing is we'll be venturing into cloud kitchen concepts ourselves, where we will be using, so for example, my fried chicken thai, my popcorn chicken, my beef meatballs or patties can be translated into pasta, rice, bowls and whatnot. So we will have cloud kitchens that are like that all around KL because it's cheaper. It's absolutely cheaper to run facilities like that. And then at the front, it's a pickup point for My Burger Lab Mart stuff. So restaurants that use our product can go there and collect their ingredients and whatnot as well. So it's a supply chain on its own. Yeah, so these are the three verticals that I have built. That I would be building moving forward.
So Audrey, you know, I also don't like to let Rennie go because there's so much that he can share to talk about. And there's one other thing that I just have to say, because apart from the Coach and Grow program, we also work a lot with micro entrepreneurs. And I remember during the MCO, and Rennie had this whole make your own pizzas and it will give you the ingredients and your burgers and, you know, and people were sharing online.
Your DIY kits.
Yes, the DIY kits. And as soon as he came out with the DIY kits and people were sharing about how they would actually become the
they turned their home into a burger lab.
Exactly. Mm. I actually went to all of my F&B micro entrepreneurs and I said, this is what you should be doing. So rather than actually say, I'm selling cookies, sell the cookie dough and, like, you know, recipes in terms of all the variations that moms and kids could do at home to actually make their own cookies. Mm-hmm. But, you know, fail safe in a way, without, you know, all the mistakes of what, like, non-bakers like me.
But don't worry, there's something called the IKEA effect.
Yeah.
If you bake it yourself, you think it's good. You don't blame where the sauce comes from.
I don't think so.
Or if it fails, it's your fault.
Yeah, the lab in my house is not that successful.
All right, on that note, and because my tummy has been grumbling for a while now listening to the both of you, I want to thank the both of you for taking the time to share these fails with us. Of course, I've been speaking with Chief Explorer at Proficio, Renuka Sena, and co-founder and creative director of My Burger Lab, Ren Yi Chin. Now, if you missed out on any part of this show, would like to catch up on our last episode of Failing Forward with Ren Yi, head on over to our website, bfm.my, or of course, on the BFM app, and just search for Failing Forward. We'll be back again next month with a new episode and a new fail and new learnings from it. But till then, my name is Audrey Raj, and this is Failing Forward on Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.